Whoopi Goldberg's Project Runway Academy Awards special will not be heard at this time, as all of the outfits have been confiscated by the Blackwell Foundation. Instead, we bring you a show from people that did not look like they walked out of E.T.'s spaceship.
This is Gordon Pepper, and what the heck was that that Whoopi Goldberg was wearing?
Dark Cinderella, that's what it was.
Aluminum, actually it was a rat from the leftovers of Pimp My Ride. I don't know, but seriously, what was that? Okay? Seriously.
Whoopi, I love you, but girl, you a danger girl.
Yeah, exactly. But we have a lot to talk about this week, including champions of pop culture, semi-finalist and finalist on the JIT, RuPaul's Drag Race, The Amazing Race is back, and we got reasons for a lot of things this week.
Not to mention morons on an island, morons on another island, morons making deal, and morons. But we will go through everything, and not a lot of time to do it, so Chico, please.
Well, somewhere in America, WLTI, the World's Strongest Game Show Podcast, is on. Let's go.
Whee!
The countdown to 500 is on. We are at minus 18. This is episode 482. 18 episodes to go here on the World's Strongest Game Show Podcast, WLTI at 5-1. My name is Jason Block, strength and conditioning coach, all-around good guy, and believe it or not, in a pretty darn good mood with my brother from another mother, Chico Alexander and Gordon Pepper. Gentlemen, how are you?
Doing well, hope you are.
And I need...
Do you need it?
I need the voice of Jeopardy, Mr. Johnny Gilbert.
From the Alex Trebek stage at Sony Pictures Studios, this is Jeopardy!
It's not just any Jeopardy, it's Championship Jeopardy this week, guys!
Yay! After 81 teams, 39 games, we are down to game 40. The one to win it all on Pop Culture Jeopardy between Queerly Benevolent, Bugsy Mode, and Personality Fire. Okay. Now, here's some interesting things. Bugsy Mode in the entire tournament has only given two incorrect answers. That's crazy. Okay? Personality Hires are, of course, former Jeopardy losers, now winners.
Yeah, the personality hires, Emily, Zach, and Miranda, two of them, former Jeopardy veterans, Bugsy Moe, Ryan, and Lauren Manson, of course, the new first couple of quizzing. And then, Clearly Benevolent, this is actually their first dip into the Jeopardy pool. Seems like they're the underdogs, and that's why I picked them to take it all. But did they, Jason?
Well, let's find out. After the Jeopardy round, we had Personality Hires at 11-5, Clearly Benevolent at 4-6, Bugsy Moe at 4. But then Bugsy Moe went for it on the daily double, and lost, which unfortunately that was their only daily double that they missed. Okay. And that was, hopefully I can find it. I don't know if they have it here. But that just stopped them. And we go into Final Jeopardy, okay, with Personality Hires at 21-5. Queerly Benevolent answers a question at the last time to save them from a locked game at 10-8. And Bugsy Moe was 4,400. Now,
Bugsy Moogs, enjoy the San Francisco treat, Rice-A-Roni, for the next year.
Well, 50,000, which is still not bad, okay?
Buys you a lot of Rice-A-Roni.
Yes, it would. So the final Jeopardy category of the final pop culture is character inspiration. The clue. For $300,000, the actor who supplied the voice for this character in four films from 2011 to 2012 based the voice on his cat hacking up airballs. Ask me a hard one. I knew this. Did you?
I did know this. Did you, Gordon?
I did. Gordon, did you know this?
I don't know if I know it.
No, wrong one. It would be something like, do you know the answer, Gordon? You must have my precious answer. That's exactly who it is. It is Gollum. And the article was in a 2013 interview, by the way. The source of the interview. I'll do the Ken Jennings here. In a 2013 interview with the American Film Institute, Andy Serkis, who did the voice of Gollum, described how he came up with the inspiration. His cat is coughing up a hairball. Okay? Now, Bugsy Moogs gets it right. Okay? And that. $44 to get 4444. Okay? Ooh. Clearly Benevolent says, who is Michael J?
But, love it!
Okay, but that's only $19.99 to get to $8,801, which, by the way, is a smart play, which guaranteed them sex. Smart.
No, it's not. No. Never.
No? You think
no? As the finals, you play to win the game.
So you say just go for it all at that point.
Just screw it. I'm throwing it down.
If you get it right and the other team gets it, if you get it right, you're guaranteed second period. If you get it right and the other team screws it up, you win $300,000.
Okay.
By doing it this way, yes, you are guaranteed second place.
Right.
You don't get first.
Right. Personality hires.
You're a Jason Block. What does Jason Block do?
Jason Block goes for it. It's the last game. You bomb and you go for it all. Of course in this game. Okay? And by the way, if they would have gotten it right, they would have won $300,000 because personality hires got it wrong. They said, who is Donkey? Wrong one. They bet the correct amount.
Therefore, if you're second place, you feel like a giant jackass. You could have had $300,000, and you don't.
Nope. Instead, you're writing a check to Emily Hogue, Miranda Onan, and the guy in the middle, because they are your Pop Culture Jeopardy Season 1 champions. Hit the fans, Bear.
And I will say this. The show got better as the season went along. The questions at the end were hard. They were hard and worthy of a final. This better get a season.
This was well done, Nate. You know, you went from, I don't know if this is good enough, to a welcome addition to the Jeopardy family. Yes. I've made some crow. I made a crow sandwich and a crow brulee, if either of you would like some.
Would you like to join me, Chico, on this? Because I would.
Let me just pick at it for the rest of the show. How about that?
Right. Okay. But now we need to go
I just throw on the beak, so it's a little crunchy.
It's fine. But let's go quickly to Celebrity Jeopardy, which really wasn't much of a game. Sherry Cola, who played for Teach AAPI, Darcy Carden, who played for AmeriCares, and Sean Gunn playing for Women for Women International. It was all Sean Gunn for the most part, really. Yeah. I mean, it was.
And fun fact, Darcy Carden broke her lectern, which necessitated, I know how to speak, necessitated a stop down. I don't know if you noticed it.
No, I did not, actually, but that's okay. The final, put it to you this way, this was a lock game at the end. The category, and I didn't know this, and it was once that the category is colors. Thank you. Once very expensive to obtain, if dye came from a small Mediterranean sea snail, this color rarely appears on national flags. Did you know this?
Oh, I knew this. It was the color of royalty, if you think about it.
It was, correct.
Yeah. What is purple?
Right, and he didn't have to bet anything, but he did. And Sean Gunn moved on to the semifinal. Do we know who next week is going to be? You'll look it up as we go to the first semifinal on season 41's JIT. It was Roger Craig, Shane Whitlock, and Jaharis Jaskaran Singh. At the end of Final Jeopardy, it was close between Roger and Jaskaran. Roger 14-4, Jaskaran 12-6, and Shane 3-2. The category is famous names. Well, not so specific, anyway. As a young reporter in Appleton, Wisconsin, Emma Ferber interviewed this hometown celebrity originally from Hungary. I knew this one.
I got this one.
Go for
who
it.
Is Eric Veit? Doing business as Harry Houdini.
Correct. Everyone got it right, I believe. Gordon, did you have it?
Well, he's very hungry, so I said, who's Ronald McDonald? Because I figured afterwards they go off the Big Mac.
Right.
Make sure you get that hunger quelled.
You leave Rob McElhenney out of this.
Okay, take the next one, Chico.
Next one features Emily Sands, Luigi De Guzman, and Madame Odio, three really strong players in a really strong game, although Matt just a little bit stronger at 22,800. Luigi has 16-4 and Emily has 11-4. Final Jeopardy category is Captain. Everything to play for as we go to a Final Jeopardy category of cabinet members. In order of fame, the first cabinet was Jefferson, later Prez, Hamilton, my shot guy, Knox of Fort Fame, this Attorney General.
You know, I did not have this. My guess was John Jay, but I know that's not right.
I had Henry Clay. I know that's not right. Gordon, the correct response, please.
They're part of a cabinet. If it's anything like the current cabinet that we have, what is Caligari University in honor of the esteemed Dr. Caligari, who had an amazing cabinet?
It's true. Very horrifying. Very horrifying cabinet. But no, it is Randolph. I don't know his first name.
Edmund Randolph. And Matt was the only one to do it, so he just said, who Randolph?
That's enough.
Now, give it to him. So the winner of this final game, which Jason will have, gets Matt Modio and Roger Craig.
Right, and this was last night. That was Ray Wallon, Raymond Goslow, and Juparia Zahir. And Juparia, I have to stop this one because she had the answer of the tournament. And Gordon, this is up your alley, actually. Okay. It was in tonight's episode, which we'll get to in a minute. So at the end of Double Jeopardy, Juharia has 14-4, Ray has 14-2, but Raymond has 21,000. Is there an upset involved in historic scientist. Clue. A pair of discoveries by him in 1787 are named for stage characters. A new practice in the field. Okay. And, I did not have this, but I will give the clue what Ken said. They had always been named for characters from myths until this man. Did you know who it was? Because I didn't, because I'm not a science guy.
I'm not that kind of science guy, Jay.
No. Gordon, did you have anyone?
Well, base that you had two different isotopes going at the same time. What is Dolly Partonium?
Rest in peace, Carl. Thank you very much.
Yes.
No. But the, Ray got who is Herschel, okay? And Ken says that's correct. The discoverer of Uranus.
Good night, everybody.
The two moons, Titania and Oberon, were named for Shakespearean characters instead of characters from myth. Okay? However, Juvaria Beast Nut says nothing. Beast says nothing. Ray says doubles up, almost. Yeah, doubles up. And Raymond gets it wrong, so Juvaria is the third person. However, tonight, it's Juvaria, Roger, Chris, and Adamodium. Now, Gordon, you're going to love this. Before we get into the game, there was a category in tonight's round called recent movies, okay? Juvaria gets the, the clue is, this beloved bear gets a terrifying makeover in the 2023 horror film subtitled Blood and Honey.
I know this one!
I don't know, but Juvaria, Gordon, says cocaine bear.
Yes.
Cocaine bear, blood and honey. No.
That's the critic reboot, by the way.
Yes, yes. Matt got it right, and Ken said, yes, Matt, Winnie the Pooh now in the public domain, although I'm sure Cocaine Bear's having some crazy adventures. And then Matt said, Winnie the Pooh and his college day. Just awesome, awesome, awesome stuff. But in the final Jeopardy, it was basically Matt versus Roger. Matt had 30. Roger had 22. 8. Juvaria had 1,000. And I got this one in medieval European. This mathematician of Pisa studied in Algeria and later wrote a book involving an Arabic introducing Arabic numbers to a larger audience. Did you know this one?
I did know this one because I watched Square One as a kid. It is Fibonacci.
The one of the Fibonacci sequence, Gordon. You knew this one, right?
I did.
Matt wins by a dollar. I believe he would have won by a dollar because he did. Now, and Matt has one game. This is a bet of two. I mean, so that's two. First to two. So Matt could win tomorrow. He could win Friday or Monday. And then depending on which, regular play resumes this next coming week. Yes?
Yes. And I'll tell you right now, we have, I don't know if you guys have friends who are going to be playing in the next month, but I have a friend who's playing in the next month, so I'll be rooting for her.
But now we've gotten enough Jeopardy. I've got the travel bug, don't you?
Oh, yes. Grab your bags, we're going racing again, folks.
Or, Chico, say it right.
The world is waiting for you. Good luck. Travel safe. Go!
From the Academy of Museum of Motion Pictures in Los Angeles, California, of course, taped way before the damaging wildfires in Los Angeles. So our teams fly to Hong Kong. They drive their marked Toyota Corollas into a specific marked parking lot and have to get on to a specific Cafe American Cathay Pacific flight. One flight will be an hour behind the second, the first one, okay? So eventually, the two teams, by the way, the first team landed 18 minutes late, and the other arrived many minutes early, so it was kind of an even keel, sort of. They traveled by taxi to the Qiantan Buddha, and Gordon, if you've seen this Buddha, this is a worldwide known attraction. It's one of the biggest Buddhas in Southeast Asia. I believe one of the biggest in the world. Yes, you do know that, right, Gordon?
Yes.
Okay. So then they had to travel halfway up the stairs to get the clue, and then travel by Sun Ferry to Cheng Chau Island, and then search their pier for the next clue. Okay.
Yeah, their pier would send them to a bamboo tower and the season's first roadblock. Who's ready for some ups and downs? Now, there is a bamboo tower that people use to practice for collecting Baozi or Baobuns in a contest situation. You're not collecting Baozi. You are collecting a clue to the fork in the road.
Dun, dun, dun.
So they climb up, so then they found the clue at Luk Kwan Street Park, and this is where the road splits, and I'm not... This is sort of a roadblock with a twist, I would call it. Right? Is that right?
Mm-hmm. I would think it's a detour twist.
Yeah, detour with a twist. Yes, okay. So what happens is that you have to either choose dance or sing. Now, the path that you choose depends on what, because there were, oh, and they, Phil announced this week that there's going to be a double elimination because depending on the path you take, the last person in the path will be eliminated on each side. It was dance or sing. In dance, they had to perform a lion dance, and in sing, they had to perform a Cantonese opera exactly to the judge's specifications before receiving their next clue. And then they had to go to the final pit stop with the Kowloon Cultural District. Okay.
The West Kowloon Cultural District. The West Kowloon Cultural District Terrace Park. The first two teams on both parallel legs of the race will receive $3,000. That would be for dance, Carson and Jack, and for sing, Alyssa and Josiah. On the other side of the coin, the last two teams to arrive on either of the parallel legs will be eliminated. That would be Old Bogeys Mark and Larry.
Right.
And Jackie and Lauren, who have a problem with stairs.
They had a problem with stairs, and that just kept them behind and everything. And honestly, these two teams were the worst performing teams of the night, really.
Indeed. So,
well, that's what the editing tells you. Here's the question that I have, because I didn't see the episode. What place did they come in as a straightforward place? Meaning, would they have finished as the bottom two teams?
They would not have finished as the bottom two teams so far as the editing is concerned. But Jackie and Lauren may well have finished as the last team.
Yeah, but that's not what I'm saying, though.
I have to rewatch the ending to be sure.
I know Jackie and Lauren, as it was shown on television, were the last team to arrive out of the 14 teams that start the race.
Right, except, and here's why I have a major problem with this. You do not know if they were teams 13 and 14. You just know that they were the last two teams to arrive.
Correct. But we do have a bit of context because while everybody's getting tickets for the next ferry to the island, Jackie and Lord were on the last ferry by themselves.
I understand that, so they were pretty much screwed regardless. But I guess you understand what my point is. You could have had someone that was well ahead and get screwed in fifth or sixth place because no one else picked that stop.
That's possible.
We don't know whether or not that happened.
Well, we do know that Gantz got filled up first, I believe?
Yes.
So the teams had to pick things, so I don't know. Okay.
So basically, the last team that picked Dance. Why would you do that if you knew that you were the last team to pick Dance?
Maybe they didn't have a choice. I'd have to look.
It's like,
there's a lot of things I didn't like about that. I understand sometimes you do something to be different. This may not have been the right thing to do.
Well, let's go to the island, shall we?
Sure.
Sure, why not? Hey guys, want to see a team implode?
Yes!
Yeah. Oh boy. What is the name of that team?
I believe it's Kula. Yeah, because let's just say the step used was absolute abysmal failure. But we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Right. So, after the first vote,
the one that went also...
Sue was like, who put me down? And Kevin was like, and she was like, okay. She was like, all right, fine.
I was like, I want her to think that I don't hold grudges, but I totally hold grudges.
So eventually, we're going on a boat. So each team had to do rock, paper, scissors of 1 to 5. The person with the lowest individual number goes on. Like, in other words, two people had 1, the first person who had 2 gets it. You understand? Okay.
Yeah, and that turns out to be Thomas from Loggy, Mitch from Siva, and Mary from Bula.
So they had to solve a timed number puzzle, and if they
did it within the allotted time, they got an advantage. If not, they lost their vote. Mary lost her vote. Thomas and Mitch solved it in the allotted time and earned a unique power of the game. Thomas received a steal a vote. Mitch got a block a vote.
Now, Kate found... Was it Kate who found... No, Star was the one who found this codex, right? With the clue... Listen, that opens it up. But she didn't know how to solve it, so she got Joe and Shaheen involved. But Shaheen's like, okay, and I love how he thought this out. What do I do? Do I help her solve it? Do I kind of help her solve it? Do I say, F it, let her solve it on her own? I loved how he thought that one. That was smart. That was absolutely smart. Okay, so we get to the immunity challenge, the reward challenge. Now, we've seen this before. Starting on a floating platform, one survivor climbs the ladder, and then they release 2 buoys, and then they get the buoys in trays, and then swam to get a 3rd platform, and then they had to transport the buoys over a balance beam And then once they got to the final place, they turned. They had to shoot the buoys in the basket. And the first two tribes who won immunity and a fishing kit. And, of course, Diva wins immunity. Loggy wins sort of immunity. And who is going to the
tribal council?
And right.
Like we said before, Jeff calls their implosion because it was an implosion. An absolute abysmal failure, especially for Cedric and Kevin.
Why? What happened?
Well, Cedric took most responsibility for tripping up on the challenge, but he also says he doesn't think it's clear that he should be the one going home. His ally, Kevin, thinks that he'd be the vote by stressing the time that three guys as an alliance can blindside Sai to flush out her idol.
Which happens. The idol gets flushed out, okay? Because Sai thinks she's in trouble. It didn't help Kevin, who got out 3-0 unanimous.
Pretty much. Mary had no vote to cast, so yeah, it's a 3-0 vote.
And that was a great blindside by the, because Kevin had no idea that was coming.
Yep.
Yeah, the look on his face was like, the bleep!
He
really
was shocked!
I mean, and to be quite honest, it was a very easy vote. This one may have been played a little bit too early in the game, even though if you get rid of an idol, it's never too early in the game. But the obvious
right.
vote here was to get rid of Mary.
It was.
So Jay usually asks me, was this the right vote? No, it was not the right vote. Because you not only get rid of an ally, and you get rid of the idol of the ally, I get what they were trying to do, but you could have used that idol later in the merge. Instead, you kept someone who will have no problem bouncing from one tribe to another because she knows that she is persona non grata right now in the tribe.
Yeah, in fact, I made it absolutely clear that there is a core four in that tribe. Mary
and
was never named as one of the core four.
And you ain't it, babe. Sorry.
No. You ain't it, so I would watch my back if I was you.
Right, but the fact is that Mary has already come to me as one of the most annoying contestants in a hot second, but again, we'll see where that goes from here. But shall we jump to another island and then the workroom, or the workroom and another island?
Let's go to another island.
Let's stay tropical.
Yeah. We're doing a little bit of island hopping. Call it an island cruise, if you will. All right, so this week we're going to walk across a beam across a quicksand pit with a high-valued case within 2 minutes. You are allowed one fall and to continue. If you fail to get to the other side in time, you'll be forced to choose a low-value case. If you choose one of 2 red cases and fail, you would automatically be at risk of being nominated. Parvati and Dixon, because Dixon is being targeted by Leet as a member of the family, the weakest member of the family, I should say. So Dixon decided to try his luck with a red case. Parvati also had a red case, but she is safe. So that leaves Dick David with $2.5 million, DK with $2.25 million, Leet with $2 million, and Philip with $1.75 million. So Dixon fails, Leet also fails, and Philip also fails, and nominated by Harvey, Leet. So we go to the temple. She picks case 2, and on the right side we have $1 million, $1.25, $1.75, $2 million, $2.25, and $2.5 million. $2 million gets knocked out in round 1. three of the big ones get knocked out in round two, and one more gets knocked out in round three, which, if my calculations are correct, just leaves
1.75.
Yep, 1.75. So there is a choice to be made here. I should probably say the offer first. The offer, $550,000. So there's.
And you should also say the cases that are in play, Chico.
Yeah,
a penny.
$250. $750. And $1.75 million.
So there's one case over, three cases under, based on the deal, correct?
Correct. And you know
you
what?
You absolutely have to take the deal here. That is the best odds you are going to get in this game.
Yep, this is the best you're going to get. I would go ahead and take it and be happy. That's what she does. And the final case is now at $9.732 million. And in her case, $250. So that was a good deal. She did what she had to do, and now she's going to do Dixon.
Goodbye.
Now Dixon is done.
I'm not sure if that was the best move because they're supposed to be in alliance together, which is more morons on the island.
Yeah, I don't think that.
I understand you're going to be the bad girl, but regardless of if you're the bad girl or not, you don't get rid of your own alliance mates. There is a really easy decision to be made here, and she did not make it. Like, huh? You're getting rid of your teammate for what reason exactly?
This just strikes me as nothing but a power move.
But this is not a game that you need to make power moves on.
It really isn't. And this is the sort of thing where if you make an obvious power move, guess who's next on the chopping block? You.
Well, so, it's not even that. It's just stupid to get rid of. This is not Survivor or Big Brother. You want to remain as enemy-less as you can in this game.
Yeah, you want to be.
And Lita's doing a really bad job at that.
Yeah, now Lita's in trouble because, yeah, she's the bad girl who makes all the power moves, but now everybody knows you're a snake, and everybody will be, you know, getting ready to chop you off at the tail because that you're just an easy out toward the final game. So, congratulations, Lita. You done messed up.
No, she made off.
Welcome to Dumb Decisions.
Right on. Yep, there you go. So.
She's already done had her.
Cover girl, put the bass in your walk. Head to toe, let your whole body talk.
So, as we expected, Gordon, this was a Patrick challenge. Okay?
Yep.
This was, basically you had to do a Betsy Johnson-esque look. They had to punk grunge flapper, prom, and prenup. Okay? Those were the three teams.
And okay? The guest judge this week, The lady, the myth, the legend herself, Betsy Johnson.
The winner of the challenge was Jules Sparkles, who was in, I have to find her, in the punk grunge flapper category. Okay.
Purple dress, different patterns of fur.
Right. And then the bottom, and then of course, by the way, the people in the three challenges were Jewel, Butthole, and Suit 1962 in Punk Lunch Flappers. Corey from, okay, Anya and Lana, okay. And then Arietti, Sandstar and Lexi were in Freena.
Yeah.
Okay. And Lydia B, Collins, and Corey King, not surprisingly, were in the bottom. They lip-synced to Kiss Me Deadly by Lita Ford, which they absolutely do. They make out during the song, because supposedly they work together during the evening. Okay?
Which I totally get, so.
Yeah. But Corey King, as we called last week, is done.
Yeah.
And next week, the villains roast.
Oh, more comedy challenges, please.
So who does well in the comedy challenge?
Can I say, based on their match game prowess, or lack of, there's going to be more misses than hits here.
Okay.
Yeah, but keep an eye on Sandstar and Anya Nerve, because they are very good at reading.
Well, here's the thing. You're absolutely right. At this moment in time, the people who have not been in the bottom yet, okay? And let's get the statistics down. Susie two wins. Sandstar, two wins. Anya Nerve, two wins, and with one win, Lexi Love and Jewel Sparkle with one.
Okay. I can see Anya Nerve and Jewel Sparkle's doing very well on the roast.
Right.
Keep in mind, Anya Nerve, I believe, was, correct me if I'm wrong here, she did very well in Match Game. I believe she was Eddie Murphy.
Right.
Match Game.
I believe.
Yeah, so she won the whole. And she won it.
Yeah, so I'll be very surprised if she fails here. I'm going to say forerunner on this one. Anya Nerve.
I agree.
Anya Nerve's win, and I will predict Arietti to be out.
Well,
I'm actually going to go with Lana Jarrett.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
I'm going to go with Jules on this.
As winner or out?
As out.
Really?
You are out of your freaking little mind.
Well, it is not without precedent that somebody's gone from winner to out. So,
but Jewel Sparkles is good on her feet. She was good on Snatch Game. So, I think you're picking the wrong forerunner, sir.
Well, all I can say is look out for Anya Nerve, look out for Sandstar. Those two are definitely among the heavy hitters in this season so far.
So, we have the final episodes of The Traitors coming up this coming week. And we are down to four faithful and two traitors.
Yes, we do. I'll tell you right now, we have one original traitor in Big Brother All-Star Danielle Reyes. One recruited traitor in her alliance mate from that Big Brother season, Brittany Haynes. And four faithfuls, Dolores Catania, Dylan Efron, Gabby Windy, and Lord Ivar Mountbatten. So, just a bit of context here. If you remember Big Brother Reindeer Games 2023, Brittany was responsible for eliminating Danielle, crushing her hopes of finally winning a competition. Then they never let that go in the beginning of this season. But they quashed their differences, and now, as a traitor, Danielle protected Brittany throughout the game, until it came time for her to recruit Brittany alongside her. Now, the episode that aired last week on Peacock, bit of a challenge here. The Power of the Seer. Players have to collect or compete three challenges to bank gold, adding a potential $30,000 to the prize fund. Whoever banked the most gold individually out of those who survived the next banishment would become the seer with the power to know one player's true identity. They managed to collect 14,300 for a final total so far of $166,800. Somebody got the power and somebody gets banished. But we don't know yet because it ended with a to be continued thing.
Dun, dun, dun.
But we do know that Dolores did not vote against Danielle, hinting that she may have put her friendship to Danielle in jeopardy by voting to banish her. Dolores did vote for Ivar. Dylan and Gabby also voted for Danielle. So, three votes for Danielle, but what's going to happen? That will be answered with the season finale this week.
And that...
next week.
Yes, and what we'll talk about this week is reasons. Lots of reasons, but we need news. So, Chico, take us there.
It is all the news you didn't even know you needed to know, including the return of Quiz Daddy on the other side of this break. With Gordon Pepper, Jason Block, my name is Chico Alexander Sixay with 5-1, your home for We Love to Interrupt. Give us 22 minutes.
And Chico will give you 22 reasons why North Carolina is not going to make the NCAA playoffs this year.
That would be the roster for the Duke Blue Devils, which we are playing on Saturday.
Go Dukies!
We'll be right back.
Hi there, I'm Robin Mead. You are not alone if you're feeling like there's so much uncertainty to face right now. And while you're told to stay physically distant from people, it is more important than ever to stay close at heart by reaching out, sending a text, picking up the phone. You can also reach out to NAMI, the nation's largest grassroots mental health organization, because with all that's going on, it's more important than ever to care for each other.
Brain Vision is presented by Amazing Race, Mario Kart Edition. Yes, people are still running around like chickens with their heads cut off in a distant land someplace, but now they're in two-person go-karts, which, let's be honest, is a whole lot more entertaining. That is Amazing Race, Mario Kart Edition, like a two brothers host.
And whoever created the fork in the road needs to get nailed with one of those turtle shells.
By the way, you do realize that there is such a thing in Tokyo?
I do, but it is totally unofficial, guys. Don't set the lawyers.
Oh, I see. Well, I'm looking at
it. I'll tell you right now, the Mario Kart Dark Ride at Epic Universe is going to be awesome.
That comes in about 2 months, right?
Yep.
And by the way, I have a Media Pro, but we'll get to that. Because, Gordon, we need a cue, please.
Roll that beautiful brain footage.
From the four corners of the globe to your frontal lobe, this is WLTI Brain Vision News with Chico Alexander, Gordon Pepper, and the award-winning Brain Vision News team.
Thank you very much, Doug Morris. As always, you can follow Doug Morris on all social media at Doug Morris Games, at Rock 104 Rock Tracks, and at Tracks Productions. And you can listen to Doug Morris as he does Rock Tracks with Doug Morris from high atop his palatial estate in the Pine Belt on Rock 104, WXRR Hattiesburg, 104.5 on your FM dial, and all over the nose.
Multiverse
on rock104fm.com, the Odyssey app, and the Rock 104 app. Couple of business items, Jay. I'm going to need the gold bat and also the bat with all the letters on it.
Okay, but you see, the thing is that I'm missing a letter somewhere. I think it's a blank tile. I don't know what it is.
You're always missing a letter somewhere.
Give me the Concords, will you? Is the gold the amuse-bouche, or is the tiles the amuse-bouche?
The gold is the amuse-bouche because we have the return of Quiz Daddy.
Oh?
Yes. Scott Rogowski is getting back down to the nitty-gritty for something called Robin Hood Trivia Live. That would be Robin Hood, the cryptocurrency trading app. And what's going to happen is players will be asked increasingly difficult multiple-choice questions. Those who correctly answer 12 will split a prize pool of $1 million in Bitcoin. That happens.
$2 million in Bitcoin, and that happened today.
Yes, it did. It happened today. It'll happen tomorrow for Robinhood Gold members only, who will again split the $1 million in Bitcoin, and all participants will receive an undisclosed gift of Dogecoin.
Oh boy!
Gordon, you actually have first-hand experience in crypto as a game show mechanism.
Yeah. We were actually at HedaraCon, and we were playing around with some of this stuff. So, yeah, I think this is a fantastic idea, you know, in terms of that. And maybe it'll get some likes here.
Maybe it will. But if you want to talk about legs, let's talk about Scrabble.
Well, actually, no. It's LEGS, triple world score.
Yeah, Fremantle has secured the global production and distribution rights to Scrabble. That would be the current version airing on the CW hosted by Raymond Simone, which is actually turning into one of the network's bright spots. I mean, let's see, venerable property, easy to produce, cheap to produce, and with a likable host. So, yeah, I totally see that. Okay, so, Vasha Wallace, Executive Vice President of Global Acquisitions and Development for Fremantle, says, "The Scrabble television series is the winning formula of what we know broadcasters worldwide are looking for right now. Proven IP, strong audience recognition with a very cost-effective production model. Scrabble has already been a huge rating success on the CW network in the U.S., and with word games super hot in popularity around the world, there has never been a better time to bring this mega brand to new markets." I can't argue with that.
You know what? I like this. It's not the best format in the world, but again, more game shows worldwide is great. It's awesome. It's terrific.
More formats, the better.
Yeah, like these that we see in the date book. Thursday is the season finale of... After the Altar, Love is Blind Sweden on Netflix. The Traitors UK, I don't know which season that is, or is that the one just passed?
I think it's the one that just passed.
On Peacock. And the US version has their season finale. Love is Blind has the season finale on Friday. Sunday is the premiere of American Idol and the season premiere of the $100,000 Tournament. Monday is the season premiere of the Spring Baking Championship. Tuesday is the season finale of Wild Card Kitchen. And Wednesday is the premiere of one of your favorite shows, Gordon, Temptation Island. It's yours. You're a legit fan of that show.
Yeah, sort of, kind of.
But we need to talk Dead App, though.
Looks like the rights to produce games, board games based on Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy are changing hands again with...
They used to be Pressman, didn't they?
Yeah, it used to be Pressman, then it was Tyco, then it was, I don't know, Mattel. Now they're being produced under license from Hasbro because Just Play Games, which has always been in the toy space for some time, is now getting into the game space. We have an upgraded version of Skip It. We have Simon Matt, which sort of takes Simon and turns it into Dance Dance Revolution. And we also have board games and card game versions of Wheel of Fortune and Pop Culture Jeopardy coming this fall.
I believe they debuted at the Toy Fair this past week in New York.
Yeah, New York Toy Fair was indeed this past week. That's where Scott Rogowski broke the news that he was hosting Robin Hood Trivia Live.
Good. And by the way, that's actually really smart to update these games because they always make money.
Yes, and yes.
This, however, not so smart.
Welcome to Dumb Decisions.
That's dumb.
You're so dumb. You're really dumb. For real.
Go for it, Chico. You have them all.
Are you smarter than Tony Raines? Best known for the challenge, he was arrested early Sunday, February 23rd, for operating a vehicle while intoxicated, according to the police report.
And one count of reckless operation and four counts of negligent injury. Not good.
Yeah, and again, the password is ALLEGEDLY. Allegedly. TMZ reported that Raines was held on a $7,500 bond. No comment from either party as of yet. And then we have more. That was from last week. This is from earlier today. Mike Boogie Malin from Big Brother got arrested for shoplifting at the CVS. You know, the CVS is having all sorts of trouble closing, you know, closing up shop everywhere. And you want to go and do this? Yeah, he was arrested on January 29th after officers were dispatched to multiple CVS pharmacy locations in the San Fernando Valley. Law enforcement sources tell TMZ that an employee from the first CVS told cops he confronted Mike Boogie Malin outside the store and told him he needed to pay for the items he'd stolen. Malin went back into the store with the items, placed them on the ground, and departed the premises in his vehicle. Okay, TMZ also said that cops know shoplifting suspects often hit multiple stores on the same brand when they're committing thefts, so police sent an additional unit to a second CVS, where they located Malin's unoccupied vehicle outside the store, which was running and had the hazard lights on. Minutes later, Malin walked up to the officers and was detained. According to a witness, Malin stole two bottles of alcohol and energy drinks from the pharmacy. Cops report that an employee at the CVS signed off on a citizen's arrest form for the alleged theft, which he can do in the state of California, and the reality star was transported to jail, where he was booked for misdemeanor theft and later released on a citation. Again, ALLEGEDLY, Allegedly. This guy.
Well, there you go. But I've got some real interesting haterade for you.
Haterade!
Now, we all know the problems with the Bachelor franchise that's going on right now, with the Bachelorette being paused, right?
Right.
Well, earlier this week, the co-executive producers of the show, Michael Margolis and Keeley Booth, have left the show. Okay. There is also a very, very, according to Deadline magazine, the hiatus loss has prompted many crew members to lose their jobs. But a dozen former and current producers have accused showrunners and executive producers Claire Freeland and Bennett Grabner running a toxic and hostile environment. Okay. Whoops.
Whoops indeed.
And Michael Margolis is actually also married to Claire Freeland as well. Okay. And Warner Brothers, do you want to hear the corporate on this one?
Oh, God, the corporate. Here we go.
Warner Brothers Television Group told Deadline, quote, "We take a healthy workplace culture and safe production environment incredibly seriously, which is why in recent years we've made meaningful improvements to our on-set policies and practices. We are committed in conjunction with ABC to continue evolving the way the Bachelor franchise productions operate so that our employees and cast feel comfortable and heard." Oh my God, the moo-poo on this!
This right here is bull.
Yes. That's tough. You heard the lawyer. I heard the lawyer. I heard the suit he was wearing. Okay. Or they were wearing. It could be a female lawyer. Who knows? But man. Okay. Gordon, serious business. Is this the jump the shark moment for the Bachelor?
I'm thinking more like it's less of a shark and more of a megalodon.
Are you saying it's possible that this could be the end?
It's not good. You know, this is, yeah, we joke around with the Bachelor saying this is the thing that never dies. It's getting close to a burial. I think they may be calling up the Undertaker right now and maybe trying to exhume Paul Bearer.
This is ugly with a capital U.
So where are we sending everybody this week?
Slava Ukraini.
Go for it.
Okay, gentlemen, take a look at your screens for something I'm about to drop. Does that look familiar to you?
Yes, it does. Hit it.
Прем'єра з 8 березня о 18:00.
Це колесо фортуни. Це знання, удача і трошки здорового авантюризму принесуть вам гроші.
У фортуни є свої правила.
А це для нас закон.
Вона обирає найрозумніших.
З'явиться пазл. Фраза з літератури, науки, культури. Вам треба буде цю фразу розгадати. Ого.
І щедро їх винагороджує за знання.
Скільки збираєтесь заробити?
Всі гроші.
Де опис?
Та чи всім вистачить для цього удачі?
Ситуація може кардинально змінитися. На секторах є різні суми. Але в нас є перехід, є банкрут. О, ні!
Дивись прем'єру легендарної вікторини «Колесо фортуни» з 8 березня щосуботи о 18:00 на 1+1 Україна.
Now, for those who don't understand Ukrainian, okay, that was a preview for the debut of the Ukrainian version of Wheel of Fortune debuting this coming Saturday, I believe.
This coming Monday. No, you're right. This coming Saturday. Sorry.
On 1+1 TV, I believe that is, right? I think?
Correct.
Okay. In Ukraine. And what does that make that in the number of franchises? Do we know? Let's see.
I lost count, to be honest. But suffice it to say, it plays off of the recent versions launched in the UK and Australia. It is letter toucherless.
The ones that are currently going are the Arab World. That's one. You can ding me if you want.
I'll ding you.
Okay, Wheel of Fortune with Graham Norton. That's two. Belgium, 3. Brazil, 4. Denmark, 5. Finland, 6. France, 7. Georgia, 8. Germany, 9. Greece and Cyprus, 10. Just making sure. 10. Hungary is 11. Believe it or not, Iran is 12. Italy is 13. Moldova is 14. Poland is 15. Romania is 16. Slovenia is 17. South Africa is 18. Spain is 19. Turkey is 20. Ukraine is 21. UK is 22. That would make it the 22nd current international version of Wheel of Fortune. Not bad.
Yeah, not counting Wheel of Seacrest, obviously.
Obviously, that is not counting. Yes. So now we'll get some more Ukrainian media pros.
I got pros in different area codes. Pros in different area codes.
And this week's Media Pro Report, Jamie Foxx signs a first look deal with Fox. I'm guessing we're going to get more Beat Shazam out of that. You're not going to hear me complain. There's going to be a documentary celebrating the life of the Vivienne coming soon from the producers of Drag Race. Atlanta players are wanted for Perfect Line. Go to Atlanta News First on the internet for more info on that.
The Rock. The Rock has had John Cena turn heel in a major wrestling coup at the Elimination Chamber. So John Cena is the first time heel in 22 years.
I saw that.
So did I.
Wow.
Pretty interesting.
We lost Peter Engel of Last Comic Standing and Saved by the Bell, Angie Stone from Celebrity Fit Club, and Chris Hughes from Eggheads. We lost him too. Jordan Smith releases new material in the 10 years since he's won The Voice. Vanna White talks about a clandestine reunion with Pat Sajak. Amy Schneider has a new book out. Jackson Mitchie claims to have blown through his $500,000 and is now working 9-to-5 with his wife and kid. Sarah Davis from Dragon's Den is hosting Time is Money for ITV. RuPaul's Drag Race Live celebrates its 1,000th show. Vegas! Tyra Banks addresses the many times America's Next Top Model screwed up. And I Can See Your Voice celebrates 10 years since its first version in Korea, but none of them are your pro of the week.
Now, I know you have one. I have another, actually.
All right, why don't you go with yours?
My media pro of the week is Tony Reale. Okay? Now, you, Tony Reale is the host of Around the Horn, and used to be Stat Boy on Pardon the Interruption, which we, of course, lovingly, shall we say, have an homage to, which we've been doing, and also is a very big game show fan. Unfortunately for Around the Horn, their show is being canceled due to ESPN restructuring, and will have their final show on May 23rd. That's my media pro of the week.
Mine is also a big in the sports world. Jimmy Johnson, who spent the last 30 years commentating for Fox NFL Sunday and spent one season being a contestant on Survivor, is turning off his microphone, hanging up his suit and tie, and calling it a career.
Now, we saw this on the BS Big Show while we were watching the Super Bowl pregame show, and when we saw that, we said, we both said, he's done.
Yep.
We
cringy
said
AI is, cringy AI aside, by the way.
Yes, cringy AI aside, but you know.
He's done.
He's done. But yes.
And those are your pros.
And that is Brain Vision. Jason, if you would, please.
Button right here. In Act 3, 6 subjects, 5 good reasons. We'll tell you what we mean by that right after this. This is We Love to Interrupt here on 5 and 1. We'll be right back.
WLTI would like to congratulate the College of New Jersey for making the NCAA tournament for men's basketball. Congratulations to the Lions.
Whee!
At least Whee! One person on WLTI College will make the NCAA tournament. The other two, you shall see.
I have to check the George Washington University and see
you
how
they're... You have a chance. That's why I said we shall see.
Yeah, I know, because I watched them. They were decent the other day. They are right now, well, they're 7th in the Atlantic 10, but they've got 20 and 11. So they're not terrible.
We also have 20 and 11, including a blowout win against Virginia Tech, which, come on, like, it's hard. So it all rests on what happens on Saturday.
That's right, because this is tournament week. Well, actually, tournament week is next week, right, I believe?
Tournament week is next week. The ACC's tournament week is next week, and three teams will not get invited. And right now, if I can bring up CBS Sports, because I know Gordon loves CBS Sports for some reason.
Maybe because I used to work there. Yes.
Yeah. Right now, NC State, Boston College, and Miami are basically waiting for football season to start.
Mm-hmm.
And Chica will give us 5 good reasons on why that is the case, because right now we are going to play 5 good reasons.
Right.
Which could be fun, which could be silly, and which usually winds up with Chico cursing me out at the end.
Right, but this time I'm going to make... Spoilers, I'm going to make the first one easy for Chico, okay? Because I'm kind
of
like...
Nice of you.
Okay. Simple. Give me 5 good reasons, Chico, why Pop Culture Jeopardy deserves a season 2. Outside of me getting on. Seriously.
How about hiring me as a writer? No. Number 1. Play along. Jeopardy is predicated on play along. We've known this for as long as it's been on the air. Number 2. The fact that it's on Prime Video means you can watch it on your own time, every time, fact that 3 episodes makes it 3 episodes a week makes it bingeable, which is how people consume their content nowadays. Number 3, The competition is absolutely fierce. The people who are in charge of casting got it absolutely right. They put on all the stops and, you know what, good on them. Number four, Colin Jost is good? What? And number five, come on, it's Jeopardy. Even bad Jeopardy is better than no Jeopardy, right?
Indeed. Gordon, what do you want to add on to this? Just for your...
No, I think you gave five good reasons. I accept. I approve.
Okay, all right. Go ahead.
All right, you are next, G. And
lay it on me, Chico.
All right, for the second time in 2 weeks, we have had a big winner on Wheel of Fortune. Mind if I share the screen so you can see what happens tonight?
Oh, what happened? Not tonight. Are we?
Tonight.
Okay.
How to find this stupid thing first? Yeah.
I don't think it was tonight, but okay. I watched tonight.
Guy by the name of PJ Wilder. Oh, wait, it was Monday night. Sorry.
I figure.
It was Monday night. So yeah, take a look at this guy.
Okay. Well, he won, but he didn't win. Okay, good.
All right, PJ, $33,660 in cash and prizes, and your wife is here on the set now.
That's right.
Katie, what's he really like off camera?
Just like this.
Yep. I'm not surprised. All right, give the wheel a big spin. Let's get some more cash for you, buddy.
Please and thank you.
Yes, you got a car out there. You got $100,000, $75,000. Where will it land?
It's not idle, so don't make me cry, okay?
I will not make you cry.
You so good. It is
the end. Thank you very much. I appreciate you watching.
Me first?
Yes. You're our guest of honor. Perfect, right there. Now, you chose what are you wearing. We're going to give you the R, S, T, L, N, and the E. As you know, you've seen all this. And then it is your turn. Oh, wow. Really, Vanna? Okay. We need three more consonants and a vowel.
D.
Okay.
P. What do you think?
M or I can't get involved.
M.
Okay, now a vowel.
O.
There we go, Vanna. What can you add?
Vanna likes the O.
You saw her reaction to that?
I did. She's been doing this a long time.
She has. We are both fans of her work.
Oh, man, I can't get it wrong now. Vanna, PJs are the best, right?
What is it? You have 10 seconds. Good luck.
Zip up hoodie?
Hey, that's it.
Whoa! How is this happening? Please pinch me.
This is all real.
Pinch me.
Hey! Are you ready? You just want a car.
No way! Get out of here!
That's yours. Congratulations.
PJ Island time is any time in your all-new Mini Cooper convertible. With a compact design and enhanced technology, you'll be seeing blue skies for miles from many of downtown Los Angeles. $41,200.
Okay.
So $74,860 for PJ in that round. But, Gordon, five good reasons why we keep getting moments like that.
On Wheel of Fortune?
On Wheel of Fortune this season with incredible contestants and Ryan's incredible reactions thereupon.
Oh, well, okay. This is an easy one. Number one, you knew eventually you're going to get the smart players that are going to come in. So the fact that these players are good means, you know, a little bit, which is a good thing. Number two, it's only a matter of time from a numerical perspective that you're going to have the $100,000 hit a bunch. I'm still actually surprised it's been this long since they've given away the million.
It's been 10 years.
I'm sorry?
It's been 10 years.
It's been a while.
Yes.
Number three, the contestants, even at the front game, are very, very smart. Number four, the way that the money is set up, you're going to want a lot of money at the front game. There's more and more things that are going on in terms of that. And number five, and the final reason, which I think may be the most important one, is that you have people coming back to play again in terms of certain things. You have people that were brought back for whatever reason. We've had some of our friends come back due to irregularities with the first game, and they're also repeating their puzzles. So it's not just the contestants that are coming back, it's the puzzles that are coming back.
I will also add a sixth reason for this. I think that the edict that Bellamy Blackstone has put down is that Wheel of Fortune has loosened up a little bit this year. There's a different vibe to it. It's younger, it's hipper, and the personalities are coming through. Not so much that, oh, I want to be a viral celebrity. Contestants are allowed to have more fun, if you understand what I mean. There's a total difference here. And it's good. It's really good. Wouldn't you agree?
I do agree with that. And they're also, the casting is also really good. You're not getting people that are going to be there just to be there. You're getting people that are there because they want to win, and they're really good.
Exactly. Okay. All right. Who's got me next?
I believe Gordon has you next.
I do. Now, I am going to pull the Bachelor card. I'm not going to give it to Chico. Jay, I'm giving it to you.
Okay.
And I'm not going to be a moron about it. Let's just say that this is the end of the road for the Bachelor.
Okay.
Give me five good reasons why The Bachelor should be considered an icon of reality TV.
Oh, that's a very good question, and I will actually answer it in the way you mean it. One, it was and probably still is the best way via reality television to express the idea of fantastic, of love, of the fantasy of falling in love with your Prince Charming. No other show has done that over the past 25 years. Two, it has introduced an iconic catchphrase. May you have this rose. Three, it has shown and developed people who have gone on to have done bigger and better things, both on other reality shows and, most impressively, Dancing with the Stars. Four, it has allowed the host, before certain things happen, I mean, look, the original host of The Bachelor, Chris Harrison, parlayed that into a very long run on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, okay? All the other people have gone on to bigger and better things. And five, more importantly, it has developed a fan base that is loyal and that will continue to watch the show and support the people who are on it, good or bad. I think I answered that seriously enough.
Pretty much so, yeah.
I mean, do you agree? You want to add on to that or no?
I would, because one of the things that you sort of overlooked, this was one of the first franchises that actually did crossovers, and crossovers very well. The only franchise that really did it before The Bachelor was with wrestling franchises, and you can say they were on Family Feud, but you had people for The Bachelor on Fear Factor, you had them on standard game shows, you had them as special guests all over the place long before it was popular to do so.
Okay, I agree with that too. And but yeah, it is one of the, it's the granddaddy of them all. Okay, Gordon, I'm going to flip the script and I'm going to go to you. Okay.
Flip it.
Okay. Give me five things on Survivor 50 that you would like to see redone.
Okay. So this is going to be interesting. First of all, I like what they're doing, and I'll use that as number one, which is the audience decides what special different things they're going to have.
Right.
I like that a lot. Number two, live eliminations. Like, not just live. I mean, obviously you go to tribal council, but these things are edited, and they're edited to perfection. I would love to see one going on live where you're actually screaming at the TV set.
Oh, so in other words, like on a YouTube or CBS.com or something like that?
Something like that.
Okay.
Are you even, like, if it went an hour, give us the full half hour. Give us the full hour.
Oh, so you want to...
Just sort of like what World of Wonder does with RuPaul's Drag Race. Well, they'll show you the lip sync and the people at the bottom, but they won't tell you who gets eliminated.
Okay.
Except, again, instead of the 5 to 10 minute edited version, give us the full thing.
I would love to see a full, yes. Okay.
So that would be fun, number two. Number three, they sort of been, shall we say, putzing around or playing around with world champions, but have one with nothing but world champions. And now all of a sudden you've got 20, 30 different countries going at it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you're ever going to get it done, but you do have, like, for argument's sake, Survivor Australia is doing U.S. versus Australia. You have Deal or No Deal with Survivor winners from Australia coming in there.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that could be a ton of fun doing it that way. Number four, based on that, bring in foreign challenges. Bring in stuff that we haven't seen yet. And number five, Tournament of Losers. Bring back every single person that was voted out first, with the exception of the All-Stars. But give me 20 people that were voted out first for the ultimate redemption. You want to know what hunger is? That would be amazing to see how much people have actually learned. Don't give me the All-Stars. Give me the 16 people that have a second chance. Like, you brought in Francesca before. It was great, and then she got eliminated again. But now bring in 16 people like Francesca, who've learned their lesson. That would be fascinating.
Okay. That's cool.
All right.
I still want the 39 days, but I know we're never going to get that again.
Yeah, that's right. All right, Chico, I think you got something for Jay.
I do have something for Jay. Okay. Jason?
Yeah.
We all know that the Traitors has been doing numbers for Peacock and has been for the last three seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Give me five good reasons why it should, if it's not going to air on NBC, at least air it on Bravo or something, because you're driving me crazy with this stuff.
Why it should or why it
why
isn't?
Why it should.
Okay. Number one. The movement to reality show stars is actually enhanced the show, not hurt it. This is a perfect show for, you know, for non-real people to be on. Two, the reality show concept, well, USA needs another reality show concept. And they have been airing Peacock shows before, like Bel Air and Poker Face. The Traitors would be an absolute perfect fit for the USA Network. Three. This show has play along value and repeat value that people will, and not many people have Peacock, even though Peacock has multi-million of subscribers. I will actually check how much. It has 36 million paid subscribers. Not that many. More. It would give this show an even wider exposure. Four. They need to see Alan Cumming as host. It's, you know, he's that good. As a matter of fact, he was a Jeopardy answer this past week. And Five, it's a damn good show, and people need to see it. And it needs to get a wider audience. So.
Agreed. Agreed. That sounds good. That sounds really good. Gordon, you want to add on to that or no?
No, I think Jay pretty much nailed it.
Okay. Last one. I believe, Gordon, you're giving it to Chico, yes?
Hi, Chico.
Hi, Gordon.
I'm going to do something a little bit different.
You're going to be nice?
I'm going to be nice.
Uh-oh.
North Carolina is doing very well, so I'm going to be nice. Now, we've seen Top Chef. We've seen shows based on singing, acting, dancing, movie creating, whatever. We're bored. Give me five professions that have not had a TV reality show based on them, but probably could use one.
Oh, wow. That is very interesting. Okay.
I figured you'd like that.
Okay. How about... this is going to be, it's really interesting, but at the same time, it's very hard because what hasn't been done? We haven't seen diorama crafters, so that's one.
It's harder when you think about it because you go construction, oh, wait a second, yeah, that's tough enough. Hairstylist, oh, wait, there's been one for them.
You want a little help?
Oh wait, there's been one for them too.
Yeah, how about geocaching? Has there been one for that?
No, but
there's
that's
been
not
horror movies based on it.
But it's not a profession.
Yeah.
No, I would consider that a profession. There are people that do that for a living. I'll give you that one. So you got two, three more.
Okay. Puzzle crafting. Try and make a puzzle and get other.
Yeah, you can do better than that.
I know I can do. Oh God, we have not seen the Search for the Next Great Game Show's host yet.
Yeah, we have.
That is true. We have not. Okay, I'll give you that one.
Okay, so that's three down, two to go. I'm getting really good at this. Four. Taxi drivers. I don't know. God.
Okay. Let me help you.
Jay, help me. I want to play my Jason Block lifeline.
Fine. How about architects, building designers? We haven't had that, have we?
We have not. We've had house flippers, but not architects. I'll add in plumbing. Top plumber.
Well, no, we've had kind of a plumber, but that's sort of tough enough, tough as nails.
Kind of, sort of.
You know, but plumber. What, I mean, we've had magicians, but you know, that's.
Now that we definitely have. We've had magician a couple of times.
What
and
was
we
the one?
Currently
on
have
five
one. Can you tell us who it was?
No. What about the science?
Unchained Reacts.
No, the one on Sci-Fi.
Marcel's Quantum Kitchen?
No, the one for magicians, the magician competition.
Oh, gosh.
And you're not talking about the one with Chris Angel, are you? Paranormal?
No. This was the one, it was called Wizard Wars. That was it.
Oh.
Okay, which was a damn good show. But how about, like, writers, like book people? Books? Scripts?
Well, we've already seen scripts with On the Lot, but books, especially with the rise of book talk, I think you might have something there.
Yes, I think so. You know what? I would love to see it. You know what I would also love to see? Because I would love to see a very clean speed round, and we're going to do that right after this here at 5 and 1. This is We Love to Interrupt. Show's almost over, folks. One more act to go. Yeah.
Philadelphia. I've been brought to you by the amazing Lost Race. We'll be there for the first episode. It will be a 24-hour marathon. But just think, you know, all those new pictures, it's wall-to-wall. Wall-to-wall sloths. All sloths all the time. We've made a 24-hour marathon, and the sloths won't really be going anywhere. The amazing Sloth Race. Even more annoying than Big Brother.
Damn, that's annoying.
Can you imagine that? A sloth camp for the amazing Sloth Race.
Well, you know what else is amazing? A speed round, which starts right now. Amazing Race got off to a rip-roaring start. Does it continue into leg two, where we go from Hong Kong to Japan?
Japan and the Amazing Race have had always had great moments, and I don't see anything different. I really don't.
Yeah, I think it'll be a lot of fun. They always are really creative in Japan. And yeah, some of the other countries in that region. I'm looking forward to it.
They also once did a bit with a Japanese game show that had me rolling.
Wasabi.
Wasabi. Yes.
Wasabi.
Yeah, that was one of the funniest things. So they were. Oh, excuse me, Survivor.
That was like somebody ate up.
No, I was just saying, is Survivor. Do the other teams go to Tribal Council, or will it be three in a row for Vita, for Vula, excuse me?
Oh, God. If Mary has anything to do with it, it'll be one of the other two teams, because she knows if Vula goes to Tribal Council again, she's gone, barring an idol find.
I agree with that, but it wouldn't shock me if there were some team-switching shenanigans.
This soon?
That'd
be odd.
If it goes three in a row, it happens that it has to. Okay? Because then you would be 6-6-3, you'd have to do a rock switch to do 5-5-5 to make life easy.
I agree. Deal or No Deal Island, is Leith a marked woman?
Yes, but again, Poverty is the one who should be going home, like Rob last year.
So. Well, not should be necessarily. She's playing a really good game. She shouldn't be going home, but they would be smart to try to get rid of her. That being said, they can't get rid of her. She's continuously safe.
Jeopardy Invitational Tournament. Who's going to get the invite to Masters?
I think it's Matt's to take. If he wants it, he'll grab it.
If Matt wins, he would go against Neelish Finjamori, Yogesh Raut, Victoria Gross, James Holtower, and the wild card. And I think next week we should discuss who the wild card pick should be. Do you agree with that?
I agree.
Okay. RuPaul's Drag Race. Who's next out of the workroom?
Oh, boy.
Well, I already said Lana Shirai earlier, so I'm not going to change my mind there.
I might tend to agree with Gordon there.
Right, because we are down to the final eight, and there are like three or four who are on top. There is a definite, you know,
Hierarchy
there. And, I mean, to me, it's on your nerves to lose at this point in time, I think, right now. Just my thoughts.
I don't think so.
Hey, it shall. It's good. I hope so.
I'll give you my reasons why next episode. Do we have any mail?
No, but if you want to send us some, our address is WLTIGameshowNewsNet.com. We are on all social media at Game Show News Net. I am at Dino R. Alexander.
I'm at Beat the Block, the number two. The number two at the end. Okay.
I am GSNN Haterade.
And the network is at 5&1net. That is the number 5, ANDONENET, where we talk about anything and everything network-wide, including the results of Elimination Chamber and the fallout therein from John Cena's face heel turn on Elimination Chamber in the NAWC, Jason.
Yeah, so we're also going to cover AEW Revolution. And the true road to WrestleMania starts now, and the card is already stacked. with four matches and a lot more answers than questions, which is the way we like it. Right, Gordon?
Absolutely.
Yes, because and to see where things will go. I mean, we have inklings of about five or six different more matches. They just need to be, you know? Gordon, what's happening in the UBA? Mega Bowl next weekend, right, I believe?
Mega Bowl this weekend.
Oh,
this weekend,
and remember,
coming up, Charles Juice Withers puts up his title. He's got to defend it in Virginia. That's going to be fun.
Right, we'll have an hour less to do it because we're setting our clocks forward this weekend. Remember to do that, folks. Of course, Chico, you and I will be in about 6 weeks covering the draft live with a bunch of our friends.
Yep.
And some interesting franchise tags, some interesting trades. Debo Samuel, no longer a 49er, now a Commander. Joey Bosa just got released from the Chargers.
And what? nothing of value was lost.
Oh, really? You don't like him?
I think he fell off, man. That's just me, though.
That is you. Okay. So, yeah, we'll talk about that later on. It was a thing, please.
Yes, Bryan Cranston's birthday is this week, and we celebrate with two of our favorite episodes featuring Bryan Cranston. The first is an episode of Airwolf where he stowed aboard the Queen Mary looking for his ex and her daddy's money. And the second, which just dropped as we are recording this, is Bryan Cranston, an exploding car, a tennis match gone wrong, Linda Hamilton, and a frank and vivid illustration of the state of mental health in the mid-1980s.
Okay.
It's all in It Was a Thing on TV.com.
There you go. So next week,
Next week, we crown a champion on the Jeopardy Invitational Tournament. We crown a champion on the Traitors. We do not crown champions on The Amazing Race, Survivor, and Drag Race, and Deal or No Deal Island. But we will talk about all four of those as we get closer to episode 500. For Gordon Pepper and Jason Block, my name is Chico Alexander. Our time is up. We thank you for yours. Game over. And spread the love.
Good night.